What's going on, everyone? And good morning. Today is Friday, November 15th, a Victory Friday out there for all you guys. And this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And man, oh man, what a game that was. I mean, you want to talk about a turning point in the season. Was it a perfect performance from first snap to last snap? No, it wasn't. But going into this game, everybody was saying this will be the big test. They haven't beat anybody. Now let's see how they do against this team. They should have won that game by 20 points. Like, let's keep it real, right? Like, there's a very real world where the end of that game is 33-10. If the Washington doesn't get that trash touchdown at the end when no one was trying, if Jake Elliott makes his field goals, we're talking about a 23-point win against a team that was viewed as, if not the best team in the division, certainly one of the best teams in the conference. So just an outstanding performance from the Eagles last night. As Nick Sirianni said in the team meeting, as the videos came out from the Eagles, you know, leading into that game, they got to do special stuff. This group has the talent to do special stuff. And last night, they did something special, and I think it was proof that they could do even more special stuff moving forward. So a lot of stuff to get into today. A lot of special stuff, I guess I'll say, to get into today. We're going to have audio from the locker room. We got everybody. We got Quinyon, Cooper DeJean, Jalen, Nick Sirianni. Of course, we'll have to hear from Jake Elliott with what that happened. And let me say this about Quinyon. He deserves a whole part of the pod. So I'm going to get into Quinyon after the break. I'm not going to do him first. He deserves to be first, but he deserves his whole section of the pod. So I'm excited to talk to you guys about Quinyon, hear what he had to say about covering Terry McLaurin, what Cooper has to say about playing with him, some of the stats. So it's going to be a fun one today. Let's get into it, as we always do. What's on the schedule? And guess what? Nothing. There ain't nothing on the schedule today. The Eagles are off today. They will be off till Monday. I'm sure that they might have a team meeting or something today, just to recap. But for the most part, this team now gets another mini bye week. The one benefit, if you can get through it, if you can get through from Sunday to Thursday, win the game, man, that mini bye is certainly a sweet thing to get. And, you know, an important part of the season. Like, they're going to end up getting byes at pretty advantageous times. First one, when they were banged up and needed some time off to regroup and get healthy. In this one, they get it pretty much right before the stretch run. So as crazy it is that we're already in this part of the season, I was thinking about it last night. They're playing their best football at the best time. Like, obviously, you want to keep this up and you want to be playing your best football going into the playoffs, but it's not week three anymore. It's not week five anymore. Like, it's going to be week 12 the next time the Eagles play. So they are certainly peaking at the right time. And I think last night was evidence of that. So nothing on the schedule today. Nick won't be talking like he normally does after a game. Next time we'll hear from Nick will be on Monday. So a day for everybody out there in Eagles lands to relax, do victory laps on Twitter. I know how you guys do, and enjoy your Friday. Injury report. More good news. Nothing there. Obviously, Jalen had the concussion scare last night. He did talk about it after the game, but the audio on it is so short, it's not even worth playing. Basically, he said he beat the protocol and that he felt fine. So, you know, I'm sure the NFL won't love the phrasing of beat the protocol. I don't think he meant it that way. I think, you know, he was test for a concussion and came out that he did not have one. NFL probably won't love the phrasing, but overall, Jalen leaves the game healthy. He should play, obviously, against the Rams, I would think. You know, I'm sure, I mean, maybe he'll be tested again for a concussion. I don't know. But as of this point, it looks like, once again, the Eagles will go into next week against the Rams with all 22 starters healthy, and all 25 starters if you want to include Jake Elliott, the punter, and Rick Lovato, the long snapper. So nothing on the schedule for today. No new injuries, which means we can just dive right into this bad boy. And let's talk about a play that I think deserves so much credit and is such like a good sign for where this team is at. So the score is 12-10. They're 7:14 to play. So as much as they ended up, you know, should have been up more, obviously, at this point with Jake Elliott having already cost them 7 points, you know, it was still very, very, very much a game with 7:14 to play. Eagles have the ball. Jalen drops back, hits Dallas Goedert wide open along the sideline. I didn't think it was a great throw. I thought it was a good job by Goedert coming down with the ball. Goedert gets it. They're down to the Washington 29. And he fumbles it. And at that point, the way the ball bounced, I'm watching it live from the press box. At first, you think, okay, maybe it's going to go out of bounds. And then you realize it is not going out of bounds. And there are a lot of Washington defenders there. Grant Calcaterra comes out of nowhere, grabs the ball, and really saves the game. I mean, if Washington gets that ball, now look, the defense was playing at a high level, so there's a real chance Washington would have just punted the ball back because they weren't in field goal range regardless, but a massive turning point in the game. That would have been such a momentum killer for the offense. Instead of turning it over, they get a touchdown on that drive. They go up 19-10. So just an absolutely massive play there. Grant Calcaterra joked after the game that Goddard wanted to pay him for the fumble recovery. It's one of those plays that you can laugh about now because it certainly ended up not hurting them. But the fumble recovery was a big talking point after the game. Nick Sirianni asked about it, and he really just kind of talked about it in a way only Sirianni can. And there's one phrase in there I want you to keep in listen for: flip and find. Flip and find. So keep an eye out for it. Here's Nick Sirianni talking about the fumble recovery.
First, Dallas got to do a better job protecting the football. He swung the football there, and we'll get that corrected. Dallas was bummed about that, but good things happen when you get to the football. That we talk about that on defense. We talk about that on offense. When you're hustling to the football, when you're getting to the football, when you're playing with relentless effort, good things happen. And I think that, you know, we've made a big emphasis on after the catch, who can you flip and find? Meaning, who can you flip and find and get a block on him, right? To be able to spring that thing open even more. And so that was just effort by Grant of, you know, trying to set his teammate off to get a big gain. And then he's around the football to be able to pick that up there. You know, in 2022, Quez lost a similar fumble in this game against the Commanders, where, you know, it was on a deeper pass, but they were able to recover it. That was a huge recovery. But again, we'll stress that because we'll really talk about that because, good things happen when you get to the ball. And again, it's, you know, Dallas will get all the yards for that, but, you know, Grant made a huge play right there. And Grant continues to do things with the ball in his hand, without the ball in his hand, whether he's the number one tight end, whether he's the number two tight end. And, you know, we're winning football games because Grant's playing good football. It takes everybody. Not everybody's role is the same, but everybody's role is vitally important. And that's team football. And that's where you're proud of the guys of just playing good team football together.
So the reason I think that flip and find comment is noteworthy, right? Is now here's Jalen Hurts talking about that fumble recovery. And they hit on a lot of the same things, right? Good hustle play, all those things. But listen for that phrasing from Jalen as well in this answer. So here's Jalen Hurts on that big time fumble recovery.
Yeah, I mean, that's crucial. You know, we talk about effort, we talk about flying to the ball. And honestly, the number one thing that's been killing is broad is flipping and finding, and finding if you don't have the ball in your hands. So obviously Dallas makes that catch, and he tries to go get some yak, and it's the guy you don't see. And you know, I know he's wishing you would have had better ball security there, but why you flip and find, why you pursue to the ball, offensively and defensively, because you never know what can happen. You want to be there. So good things always happen when you fly to the ball and get to the ball. And it's a crucial moment in the game for sure. I was able to extend our drive. I think it's a great example of effort, finishing the play. And again, you know, you talk about roles. You know, Grant is, when I tell you, he's probably one of the most, I think I said this already, one of the most selfless guys on the team. With his role, and, you know, it looks different. You know, he popped off for a little bit in absence of Dallas, and now he makes one of the most underrated plays of the game, and being able to recover that fumble, extend the drive, and have an opportunity to give it to Saquon a couple more times. So it was a big play.
I don't think it's a coincidence, obviously, and I think it's very noteworthy that they both said flip and find. There are so many times with this team, whether it's something Nick says with its dog mentality, right? We hear players say that all the time. Whether it's like the rent is due or, you know, keep the main thing that Jalen says. One thing that consistently happens with this team is the messaging from the leadership, the top two guys, Jalen and Nick, is said through the rest of the roster. Like, I don't know who said flip and find first. I would guess it's a coach. It was probably Nick because it's a coaching point. But whatever, whoever said it first, it's gotten through and it's clearly emphasized and it clearly is getting through. Like, for Nick to say, hey, we focus on flip and find, and then Jalen gets up there and says, we focus on flip and find. Here's why that play is such a good indication for this team. Every time I talk to players, like, why do you guys think you're playing well? It's the focus on the details in meetings. We're really focused on the details in meetings. We're really focused on the details. That's what they repeatedly is what they say. The messaging from this team is getting through. It is absolutely getting through. And you see it out there on the field. This Grant Calcaterra play, Grant Calcaterra is not that close to the play when the ball is fumbled. He certainly isn't close to Goddard when he catches it. I think he's like 15 yards away from Goddard when he catches it. So A, not only when he catches it is he far. He doesn't know he's going to fumble it, right? He's still running to the ball to go get a block, to flip and find, right? So once the ball is caught, you flip, you look, who can I block? That's what he's doing, right? He's listening to the coaching point. He runs over to Goddard, who fumbles the ball. And because of that, he is in position to make a big play. And what I think you're seeing with this team right now on both sides of the ball is they are a group of players that are very, very well coached, are very bought in, and are playing hard for each other. And I think sometimes when you say those things, they can come across as like just vague football terms, right? But I think they're so true about this team. This might be, look, the 2017 team had chemistry like no one else, and they were certainly well coached. And look, we don't have to go down the road to comparing them. But if you just want to talk about a group that like mid-season has become a freaking unit, like coach-wise, that is this team. And Nick deserves credit. Jalen deserves credit. All the players deserve credit for it. But what you saw last night was an Eagles team that is clicking on all cylinders, right? The offense should have had over 30 points. The defense basically held them to 10 points. And it's little things like that Grant Calcaterra play. That is how this team has turned it around. Every single player brings it up. The details, the details, the details. Grant Calcaterra, that play, Goddard catches the ball, flip and find, in his mind, right away. And it's incredibly impressive for where this team is at, from really looking, you know, not great to start the season, disjointed, unhappy, injured, the pressure was there. They are rolling right now. And I think it's because of the messaging from the top. It's Nick and Jalen. It really is. Like, they win because they're a unit. And I think that's always been the case with the great teams we talk about. The 2017 team, we talk about the depth of the team, right? How deep they were. Every if someone went down, they were all ready to come in and play. The 2022 team, how great the roster was, right? Best roster we'll ever see. Like, the teams that are great are ones that are teams. Like Nick said, right? You have to be a close group to do special stuff. And this team is clearly, I shouldn't say clearly after last year, but they're clearly on pace for those 10, 11, 12 wins. But they could end up with more. And they're certainly capable of accomplishing much more. So the other big thing I think that stood out to me from last night was Nick Sirianni talking about the group. And of course, he brings up dog mentality as he normally does. But he talks about resiliency, and I've brought this up on the pod a bunch, but here's Nick talking about that, and I'll give you my opinion. So here's Nick on resiliency.
Everybody that contributes to a slow start offensively, it's not just one person. This is a team game. It's always a team game, and it'll always be the team. And so I'll have to go back and look. What I'm proud of the offense, what they did tonight, is that, you know, they found a way, they found a way to continue to put points on the board. And, you know, to be able to stretch that game out. Obviously, the defense did a great job of holding a good offense down, but the offense just kept trying. It kept finding a way. We'll look at the tape. We'll see what happened. It wasn't a great start for us. It was ugly, but sometimes those ugly moments turn into, you know, again, part of it's the run game was a little ugly, and it wasn't as clean. But then as the game progresses, I'm just so proud of the guys that they do truly have this dog mentality of like, all right, it's not going good. Well, what are you going to do about it, right? It's just you you just, all you can do is learn from what happened. And it's, sometimes it's hard to learn from what happened within game, because you don't know exactly sometimes what happened. But you put your head down and know that the only play that matters is next. And this is just such a resilient group that can really put bad plays behind them and move on. And they can put good plays behind them and move on. Like, you know, like you said, when we went up, whatever, we were up 12-10, we get the stop. We go up 19-10. You know, that was a good drive. We get another stop, or we get the pick by Reed, and we go score another touchdown. Like, that is truly, it's so much easier said than done of how do you play the next play. But the guys did a good job of that.
What was it like at halftime from your perspective? So Jalen's getting checked for, you know, the concussion. Are you putting in contingency plans for Kenny at that point, making sure that Jalen's okay? What's that?
Yeah, I got it. I got information really early on. I think as I was going into the locker room that Jalen was going to be, you know, he cleared. But really, what we talked about at halftime was that, hey, this is going to be a grimy, gritty game, and just keep going, because we know we're grimy and gritty. We know that team's grimy and gritty. A lot of respect for them. But we just kept going, and that was the talk at halftime. Like, hey, it's a street fight. And we just got, it's not about who's tougher. It's about who's tougher longer. And we all said that to each other, and we went out, and I think they got points right away. Right, I think they got 3 points right away. But then, you know, again, just great resilience by her.
You know, I started to feel that way about this team, you know, pretty soon after the bye. Like, when they beat the Bengals, I remember saying to James, like, this is a resilient, resilient group. I mean, I'll keep bringing it up because it keeps sitting in my head. Like, to think of where they were in New Orleans. Like, I remember being in that press box, looking down on the field, Zach Berman next to me, and we're just sitting there like, oh man, this is not good. 3rd and 16, like they need to get the play, and they do it. Like, think of how differently that season could have gone. And they got the play, and then they bounced back from the Tampa loss, and then they played better coming out of the bye week. And then last night against Washington, when things were not going well early, like they were not going well. The offense was not playing well. The defense dominated all game. So definitely credit to them. Jake Elliott kept missing kicks. Like, how many teams do you think have won a game this year, or really in the history of the NFL, when a kicker missed 2 kicks and an extra point? I would guess almost none. I would guess the percentage of teams that overcome 7 lost points from their kicker to win a game are very, very slim. But the offense plays poorly to start. Looks like Jalen's going to get concussed. Everybody in the stadium is all fresher with how the offense is playing. Like, Washington's not playing great, but they're winning the game at half. They're very much in it. And then the team does not fold, and they just deliver the knockout blow in a span of like 20 seconds. Calcaterra gets the fumble. Saquon scores a touchdown. Reed gets the interception. Saquon scores another touchdown. Ball game. That's it. In a span of like 4 plays, and, you know, it was more than that, I know, but it wasn't many more than that. Like, it was the fumble recovery, the touchdown, like next play, like it was quick, right? And it was such a resilient thing to do by this team. I always think about Jeffrey Lurie saying the thing that the team wasn't last year was resilient. They are resilient this year. I was on the morning show this morning, which is, I guess, one benefit of not doing the pod at 3 in the morning, but, you know, it was asked about, like, can they win despite how Jalen is playing? Because he didn't play well. Let's be real. Like, he didn't play well. I do kind of regret giving him a C-, but I don't think that he played great. But what they get from Jalen is a resiliency and an ability to very rarely let it snowball on him. Even last year, when they had that collapse, it kind of snowballed them more on a macro sense than it did a micro sense. Like, the Cardinals game was close. The Seahawks game was close. You know, they got blown out in a few more, to be honest. So that's not helping my point. But what I'm trying to say here is, and I think you will all agree, that Jalen's ability to be so cool, calm, and collected in big spots does filter down to the rest of the roster, right? Just like the coaching points filter down to the rest of the roster, Jalen's demeanor filters down to the rest of the roster. So they're a resilient group. Like, there are going to be tough moments coming up. The Rams game, not an easy one. Baltimore, not an easy one. There'll be late season games that they have to win against bad teams to secure potentially the number one seed. Maybe those games don't start out well. Resiliency. Playoffs, there's going to be tough moments. Going to Detroit, potentially, a tough moment. But this team has shown it can absolutely take a punch and deliver a stronger counterpunch back. And am I using that terminology because I took my first boxing class? Yes, of course I am. But now that I'm basically a boxer, I can use those fighting terms. So I definitely think they are a resilient group, and it's very, very impressive. All right, let's get into the Jake Elliott of it all. We didn't talk about it too much on the pod last night, but Jake Elliott did talk after the game and was obviously asked about the fact. And I'll say this, like it's always either an amazing time for Jake to talk or a terrible time. Like Jake doesn't talk after he makes 2 35-yard field goals and they win by 10. He only talks if he hit like a big time pressure kick or man, did he have a bad game. And unfortunately for him, last night was one of those man, he had a bad game night. So Jake Elliott talked at his locker afterwards and here's what he had to say.
Like I was telling them, I'm going to double down on what I've always done, and I still feel really confident in myself. I feel like I've been hitting the ball really well this year, so I don't want to overemphasize one game. I just want to go back to the process and figure it out.
Jake, when you're on the sideline, do you go through the fundamentals after something like that happens when I see a practice in the kicks?
Yeah, I'll go out there and I'll hit a couple balls in the net, make sure I feel the thump, as I call it, make sure I'm feeling that, and when I feel that, I know the ball's going to go straight, so go back and figure it out as much as I can on the sideline, feel the wind, try to test that out, and yeah.
Yeah, look, I had no doubt that Jake Elliott was going to talk and handle it well. He has not had games, I don't think, really ever like this, but he has certainly missed big kicks before, and he's always talked, and, you know, I don't want to break his position down so simplistically because, again, as a two-time media field goal champion winner, like I understand how hard it is to kick the football. But I do think that sometimes it's a little like, yeah, man, like you just missed the kick. So Nick Sirianni was asked about Jake Elliott as well after the game, and he also kind of said what you would expect. But here's Nick talking about Jake Elliott.
Jake's been so clutch his entire career and his entire time that I've been here too. And you know, just like I would say to somebody that fumbled or dropped a pass in a moment, you know, we believe in you. You're going to have to make a kick to help us win this football game. And, you know, he did to get us up that 16 points and 8 points or whatever it was. But, you know, we have so much faith in him. And, you know, that's what you do. And when the connection happens, I think connections happen when you can really build connections through tough times, right? And so obviously he was going through a tough time, but, you know, this team believes so much in Jake Elliott, you know, because of his track record and who he is and the teammate he is, the captain he is, and just wanted to let him know that we all believed in him and can't wait for him to get his opportunity to go out and do it again.
So I was talking to some of my friends about this on Friday morning, and, you know, it was like, how long of a leash do you give Jake Elliott? First of all, contractually, like he's not going anywhere, or at least they're taking a decent sized cap hit for a kicker if they were to release him this offseason. And I don't think that's going to happen, to be clear. But you do have to ask, like, how much longer can he miss if they're in a tight race for the number one seed before they have to consider doing something? So in my head, and I think he'll turn it around. Like, I don't think he's cooked. It could be one of those years, like he's had bad years before where he just got in a funk and couldn't get out of it. But I think he gets two more games. Like if he kicks really poorly against the Rams and then also the Ravens, then I think that's where, look, it's not going to be easy to do. Like benching Jake Elliott is not going to be easy to do. He's a special teams captain. He is, for a kicker, about as big of a part of a personality of this team as you see. Like, fans wear his jersey. Fans talk. Like, he is not just some kicker to bench. Like, moving on from Jake Elliott in season will not be a small thing. But if he has two more games of kicking really poorly, I think you got to at least try kickers out. Now, there's not going to be better options out there. There's no, like, Dicker the Kicker, or whatever that nickname was, out there. Jake Elliott's going to have the best resume of anybody. He's made the most clutch kicks. I still trust him in big spots. Like, I still do. But, I mean, if he keeps missing, the Eagles have to do something. Like, you can't just keep trotting out a kicker there. That's costing you points. Like, it should have been a bigger... Like, that game should have been almost over heading into the fourth quarter. They're up 12-10, I think it was, heading into the fourth quarter. They should have been up 19-10, which is a two-possession game as opposed to a one-possession game. So, look, last night, they made the big plays. They won the game, and again, our basically third member of the pod, Drew from Westchester, put it well. Like, thankfully, that's just a footnote to talk about. We're not leading the pod with Jake Elliott. But I think he gets two more games before we have to seriously talk about what they should do. Until then, you just got to ride it out with them and hope he can turn it around. All right. On the other side, what you all waited for, what we were all amazed by, and what's kind of becoming the story of the season in some ways, we're going to talk about Quinn Yon Mitchell. But first, a word from our sponsors. So it's getting to the point where, you know how sometimes like you'll hear something and then obviously the phrase comes like it's almost too good to be true? You know, you'll get like your check is more than you think it's going to be or whatever, right? Like, and you go, that's too good to be true. That can't possibly be true. What you have told me is information that is too good to be believed. That is where I've reached with the Quinn Yon Mitchell and the stats. The amount of insane stats we all see about Quinn Yon Mitchell are almost too good to believe. You look at some of the stats of what he's done against great number one receivers, right? One catch allowed to Ja'Marr Chase, like two catches allowed to Malik Nabers, like just unbelievable stats for any corner, let alone a rookie corner, not even like halfway through the season. Like he is now, but 4 or 5 games ago, he certainly wasn't. And I think you wake up Friday morning and another stat that is almost too good to be true. But here's the amazing part, Eagles fans. They are true. Like, the stats are true. Last night, Quinn Yon Mitchell aligned across from Terry McLaurin on 20 of 25 routes, including 19 of 20 aligned wide. So he was, like, lined up on Terry McLaurin straight up a lot of times in that game. Mitchell was not targeted on any of his coverage snaps against McLaurin. So on those coverage snaps, Washington didn't throw the ball to McLaurin a single time. And he was targeted just once all night, didn't allow a single catch. The one catch that McLaurin had wasn't on Quinn Yon. And what makes this performance so much more impressive than his others, not that his others weren't, but what makes this one so much more impressive is Terry just sits on that one side and that's it. Like against Malik Nabers and Ja'Marr Chase, he played really, really well, but he wasn't up against them all game. Terry McLaurin, he just lined up on Quinn Yon like most of those snaps, and Quinn Yon shut him down. And what I think you saw on a macro sense, to use that word again, if you're another team in the NFL, you take Terry out of that offense and they have real trouble moving the ball. Like Austin Eckler is still a pretty special player. Zach Ertz can still do some things, but Terry McLaurin is what makes them go. And Quinn Yon is what made them stop. Like to do what he did last night against Terry McLaurin is truly it was an outstanding performance, and it kind of caps off and cements what we've seen from him over these past few weeks. So Quinn Yon was asked about it after the game, and I'll say this about Quinn Yon. Like he has a cornerback one personality in the way that his confidence when you're around him, like that dude believes in himself. Like that is the vibe you get being around Quinn Yon. But he is not a number one corner in the way we've seen with like a Darius Slay personality, a Jalen Mills personality. Not a big talker. So here is Quinn Yon Mitchell on covering Terry McLaurin.
You know, he's a great receiver. You know, I feel like I prepared great during the week. You know, got some good reps. You know, got some things I got to clean up too. So just continue to get better.
Who's the
So Quinn Yon was asked a few more times different ways about it. And, you know, he did not take a victory lap. He did not, like, you know, show up like, this is why I'm the man. Like, none of that stuff. Like, he's just a quiet guy, at least to the media. I'm sure behind the scenes, and I asked Cooper about this, like, he has shows a little more personality. But I think what's impressive and what is encouraging about his personality is he seems extremely unflappable. Like, that's one thing you hear Nick Sirianni say a lot about him, and what they've heard about him in college was nothing bothers him. And it's getting to a point where we're used to seeing it from him, but doing what he did against Terry McLaurin in prime time his rookie year in that game, like, that is, it would have been acceptable if he played poorly. Like, if he played poorly, I don't think anybody would have been like, well, he's a bust. This is a sign he can't do it. Like, that was an extremely tough spot. And to do what he did is crazy. So we all get a chance to watch him from afar. Obviously, I get the chance to be a little closer and talk to him. But none of us get the opportunity to be in the meeting rooms with him unless someone that works for the team is listening to this, in which case you do. Who knows? But none of us really get that opportunity. So I asked Cooper DeJean what it is behind the scenes that makes Quinn Yon such an outstanding player. And here's what Cooper had to say.
I think it's just he's the same dude, you know, every day. He comes in, you know. The amount of success that he's having right now, you know, you wouldn't be able to tell. Each and every day he's the same person, comes in, understand that it's a week-to-week game, you know. And you gotta show up each and every week, you know. Just because you're playing well 1 week doesn't mean you're going to do it the next, you know. So I think he and I understand the preparation that goes into it each and every week. You know, you can't just, you know, have one good week and then you know, think you're just going to play well the rest of the season. You got to do it each and every week, be consistent.
There is just something about the fact that both of them are doing it together that I think makes it all that much more unbelievable and encouraging and too good to be true. And that really is how I would describe Cooper and Quinyon. Like, they're too good to be true. They just are. Like, their personalities, the way they play, the instant impact, like the fact they came in together. I mean, this is Lito and Sheldon all over again. And with Lito and Sheldon, I don't know how old you guys were, but I was like 15 maybe when they got drafted, 14, something like that. Like, I was not... Yeah, like, I followed the Eagles, obviously, and watched, like, but it wasn't, you know, doing a podcast breaking down how unbelievable it is that they've drafted two corners at a young age that are going to go on to play at a high level for years to come. But now, you know, you look at this from an analytic, like an analysis standpoint, and it's unbelievable. It is too good to be true that these guys are doing what they're doing already. And being around them in the locker room, man, like, they got it. Like, they have the confidence that you want to see. I've been around rookies that don't have it. These guys have it. And not only does it show up on the field, I think their personalities off the field turn them into better players on the field. And the other thing that's crazy, I was thinking about this morning. Quinyon might already be a top five valuable player on the team. Like there's AJ, Devontae, Saquon, Jalen. Like, he's maybe not there. But if they had to protect, like, let's say there was an expansion draft and they can only protect five players, Quinyon might be one of them. Honestly, like, would you protect Saquon or him? Like, I think they probably protect Quinyon. As great as Saquon is, and no slight at Saquon whatsoever, like, I think it's probably Quinyon, AJ, maybe Juergens, Mailata, and Jalen Carter. Like, I think those might be the five. I don't know if Hurts is in there. But what Quinyon has done, like, I don't think Howie's letting that dude walk out the door. A number one shutdown corner. Yeah, I think Quinyon is a top five, like, value player on this team. I think he's not, like, top five MVP right now just because Saquon's been so awesome, like, all those things. But I think in terms of, like, if Howie could only keep five players, I think Quinyon makes him that list. So here's the good news, though. They don't. And I've said this before about this defense, and I'll end the pod with this. I can't remember the last time I think a unit was so much just like the definition of a unit. Like, these guys play together. They're better as a unit. They're like truly the definition of better than the collection of their parts. And that's not that they're not great players. But again, like, N'Kobe's not supposed to be this good already. Zach Bond's not supposed to play this good. Zach Bond is playing at a high level because he deserves all the credit in the world because, like, Vic Fangio's playing great and Zach Bond is coaching great. And Zach Bond looks better because his secondary looks really good. And the secondary looks really good because Zach Bond is playing well. And the defensive line looks better because the secondary is playing awesome. And, like, it's all connected. On offense, they're kind of like a group of individuals in a way. Like, Saquon makes an outstanding play, right? But, like, on defense, they do that thing together. And they do on offense, too. I don't mean to, like, overstate that point. I just mean watching the unit come together as a group. They are the true definition of a team. And you know what? Right now, this team, 8-2, first place in the NFC East, 2.5 games up. And I think it's time for everybody to seriously consider start making their plans for New Orleans. I think this team has a really, really good chance to go to the Super Bowl. And I know people don't like to say that at times, but, like, it's just Detroit in their way. They got to win one game against Detroit, and they're in. And we could be back. And I saw a stat this morning that only four of their coaches in NFL history have started a season 8-2. All four of them have won Super Bowls. So maybe this is the Eagles' year. And boy, oh boy, will that Fans of Philly trip to New Orleans be a blast. And I can't wait to hopefully do it with you guys. So enjoy your Friday. Enjoy your weekend. Thank you so much for listening. And as we always say, he's Elliot. I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.